All right, well, I want you to open your Bibles to Jude today. It's the next to the last book of the Bible, and it's one of those books that they're all important, but I think this one's really important because in Jude, it's the next one to Revelation, and Revelation is the one that talks about the end days and the end times. And so Jude is kind of like one of those letters that's getting us prepared for the end. And when I heard this phrase this week in my mind as I was praying, I heard this phrase, contend for the faith. And I thought, well, Lord, that sounds a little familiar, contend for the faith. And so I went in my notes and I looked it up, and it was something that I touched on back in like June when I was talking about Jude. And contend for the faith is this phrase that goes along with another word that's found here, and it's the word earnestly. So it says contend earnestly for the faith. So let's read this together. It's verse 3, one verse, and it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." And the great thing about this verse is that word contend earnestly, the only time it's found in the Bible is right here. So it's to contend earnestly for the faith. It's not just to contend, but it means to contend earnestly for the faith. And the reason that he mentions that is if you go back at the beginning of verse 3, it says that he was very diligent to do that. And another word that we can find for diligent is that he felt compelled to be able to tell them what he's talking about, and that is to make sure that your faith is intact and contend for it, to make sure that you do it earnestly. So he felt really strong about that. The word contend means struggle. And like I said, it's the only time we find it in the Bible in this sense, but it's a struggle, and it's a skill and a commitment that happens when our faith is being opposed. So when your faith is being attacked or the enemy's coming at you, the response that you and I are supposed to make is that we're supposed to contend for the faith. And that means that there's a vigorous conflict that can happen, and it happens. The illustration that he uses kind of two illustrations that they would have recognized this word in the New Testament, is one of athletic competitions and also one of military. It's like a military metaphor that's to summon the church to action. It's for us to know that there's breakthrough that's on the way, and it's this active engagement against opposition instead of being passive and just letting things come at us as it transpires. How many of you find yourself from time to time just letting stuff come at you? You know, it's just easy to just kind of get into the doldrums where we just are always living on the back of our heels. You know, we're not meant to live on the back of our heels. We're meant to forge ahead and progress and break through. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we're not an overcomer until there's something to overcome. But the basis of this is that we are contending for something that is of utmost importance. Like, this is life or death, what we're contending for, and it's our faith. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church. There's nothing more important in life than your faith in Jesus Christ. And what the devil will do is, most of the time, he's not going to deceive you into walking away from your faith. Like, that doesn't happen all the time. That's not always a very common thing. But I'll tell you something that is a common thing, and that is you and I getting distracted. That is a very common thing. Leonard Ravenhill said that it was the basis of the downfall of our Christianity is distractions. That's what's going to come our way in these days and ages that we live in. It's not that necessarily that we're going to willfully and knowingly depart from the faith, which happens, of course, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an eroding of your faith and a distraction from the things that are necessary in this life about the kingdom, about Jesus Christ, and about your faith in him. Because what he's talking about contending for is your salvation. You see it? It says it right there in verse 3, your salvation. That's of utmost importance. We've got to remember that, you guys, not to be distracted, not to be carried away with everything that's thrown at us. And how many of you know there's a lot of distractions, right? How many of you have found yourself distracted from time to time? Anybody? Just by life, just how things are? Anybody get distracted by that? Yeah, it's pretty common. In this context, what he's referring to is false teachers that have wormed their way in. It's causing disruption and distraction. And I think that that can happen as well. We don't always see it maybe as much as they did in these days, but it's definitely here. It's prevalent. It's prevalent in subtle ways here, where it's maybe more blatant in other countries. Like Pastor Titus has told me to pray, asked me to pray for Tanzania, that there are people that travel around that just have all kinds of eschatological, you know, teachings of the end times that are erroneous, that are just false. And they go and they deceive people and they draw people away from the true faith in Jesus Christ. So we don't always see that as prevalent here. But what we do see that I think is probably more prevalent are distractions. Yes, we're distracted by all kinds of things. By the lure of wealth, by our careers, by troubles, by tribulations, by health problems, by all kinds of issues that want to captivate us and pull us away from what's truly important in this life. And yes, those things are important, absolutely, but they're not as important as your faith. They're not as important as your walk with Jesus Christ and your salvation. Don't let the devil distract you. In 2026, be intentional and forthright with your faith and what God's called you to do. The interesting thing about this is that this conflict that we're in the middle of and what we're believing for, I guess, can extend into areas, and I don't think I'd be taken away from the meaning of this to say that this has to do even with more areas than our faith. It has to do with believing God for healing. It has to do with contending for relationships that were broken. It has us contending and believing that we're not going to get divorced. It has us believing and contending that our son or our daughter is going to come back to faith in Jesus Christ. It's contending that a relationship is going to be renewed. It's contending that bitterness and unforgiveness are going to be wiped away from our lives. It's contending for freedom from addiction and from bondages that want to hold us back. It's contending for a mindset change, a way of thinking, a way of seeing things that we've always kind of just settled into, that God says, no, I want you to contend for something different with how you think, with how you approach life, with how you see things. I want you to contend for your purpose to be identified, for who God has called you to be. I want you to contend for blessing to be realized in your life, that my favor is on your life, that my favor is on your family, that my hand is evident in everything that you do. I want you to contend for hope, that you can begin to dream again, that you can begin to believe again, and all those things that you used to do that were very important, that those things could be rebirthed and realized again. Amen? That's to contend. We need to contend for those things. Stand with those things. Do battle for those things. Don't always be on the defensive. Don't always let things come at you and we're always having to respond. How about we make the devil respond to us for a change? How about we put him on his heels for a change? How about we call him on notice for a change? And let him know that this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. How about we begin to do that? How many of you hear an Emmanuel say, you know, Pastor, I'm going to contend. I'm going to contend. Come on, guys. I want to contend for what's important in my life. You know, that concept is reiterated in Scripture without using this only word. So the idea of it is found in other places without using the word contend. It was used by Jesus in Matthew 24:13 when he said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So there's that endurance that we're talking about. Contending takes endurance. And if there's one thing that you and I could pray for, it would be patient endurance. That's not always easy to have in life, because we're surrounded by people that want to challenge our patient endurance. Wouldn't you agree with that? How many of you know people that are making you better at your patient endurance scale? It's helping you be more, they are helping you be more patient. People that you're around, that you deal with, and it's creating a patient endurance. You know what? I'm going to pray right now in the name of Jesus, because I don't like the spirit that I'm feeling here right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's going to be breakthrough right now in this service. And I am not going to tolerate this sleepiness attitude today in this church. Lord, we're going to have breakthrough in 2026, and it's going to start right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to tolerate it, and you're not going to tolerate it either. We're going to have breakthrough. It's time that we have breakthrough, not just in Salina, but at Emmanuel. We are overdue for breakthrough, and we're going to start having breakthrough, and it's going to happen, and it's going to start in your life, and it's going to begin even today as it has. Philippians 1:27, the last part of that verse says this, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. So this contending and enduring also has to do with fighting and wrestling and challenging and forging ahead and pressing through. I don't know about you, but that's not always things that I like to talk about or do. Like, I want it easy. How many of you like it easy? Yeah, I want the easy way. But God says if you're going to contend for things that are important, you're going to have to bust through. You're going to have to prevail. Ephesians 6 says this, as the what I referenced earlier, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, chapter 6, verse 12, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Recently, I got back from New York City, and my son who lives there, he goes, Dad, you know, what do you sense? And I go, I can feel it, man. Like I'm here, I can feel the opposition. I can feel the darkness in this place. And I'm like, man, you gotta come against that stuff. It's hard being a believer when you're in a huge metropolitan area where there's all kinds of stuff going on. You and I know, if you've been in any different places from time to time, you can fly into a nation or a country and you can feel that darkness. I could feel it in Oklahoma and different places there. It's a different type of atmosphere here in Kansas. The principalities and powers of darkness are not always the same. And sometimes what can happen to us is we misinterpret conflict. I don't know about you, but I've done that from time to time. Like, I've misinterpreted. Like, I don't always see it for what it is. So, you know, we're there, and I was like, let's go get a coffee, you know. So we go get a coffee, and I'm buying. So he orders, like, $20 worth of stuff. I'm like, going, what's up with that? You make more money than I do. Why am I buying you breakfast, you know? But anyway, I gladly fork it over, you know, and pay it. And there's a guy there, and this guy, you know, he wants money, and we don't have any cash. And my son tells me, he says, you know, Dad, in the city, you know, you just put your headphones in, you don't make eye contact, you just keep your head down, you just go where you're supposed to go, and you don't interact with people, which is really sad, but it's part of life. And this guy, you know, is wanting money and this and that, and my son goes, well, we don't have any cash. And he goes, well, I take Cash App. So I thought that was pretty clever, but it wasn't going to work. And so he's saying all this stuff, you know, praising us and, you know, blessing us and all this stuff. And then it flips. And after the Cash App thing, we didn't give in. He starts cursing us, you know, like saying the vile things. I mean, vile, terrible things. You know, and I'm just trying to get my coffee, man. That's what I'm there to do. And my son, you know, normally he wouldn't do this, but he stops and he looks at this guy and he goes, wait a minute. He goes, just a little while ago, you were blessing us and now you're cursing us. And in a split moment, man, this dude jumps off the counter and starts coming at us. And of course, being a dad, I'm not going to let someone do something to my kid. And so I step in, you know, and nothing happened. But what I didn't realize was that this was a spiritual thing. That when I walked in there, I should have saw it for what it was, you know, that it wasn't a physical conflict, although it could have escalated into that, but that wasn't what it was. It was a spiritual thing, and whatever was operating inside of that guy was trying to distract us and trying to get under our skin and trying to affect us. How many of you know that that's what the devil will do? He will do anything possible to try to get at you and nip at you and distract you from what God would have you to do. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." And the reason that this went down like that is because it's not uncommon for someone to be pushed into a subway in a train and die right there on the platform. It's not uncommon for someone to come up and get stabbed just like that without ever doing anything, just walking down the street. Like that is not an uncommon, that can happen. But here's the thing, you guys, we can't misinterpret it for what it really is. It's the enemy trying to destroy you and me. And we have to be mindful of those things. There's a struggle that we face, and that struggle can come from all directions. I want to read to you a prophetic word that Christine Kane has given for 2026, and I think it fits really, really well. You could probably look it up, Google, and it'll pop up, but she says this, "I'm believing that 2026 will be the year of the Holy Spirit tailwinds in your life." How many of you like tailwinds? Anybody like tailwinds? Yeah, Holy Spirit tailwinds. She says this, "A tailwind is the air that is blowing in the same direction as the aircraft. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has your back. It's felt like you've been battling unrelenting spiritual headwinds for the past decade, but the winds are shifting." How many of you bear witness that even for the last few years, you've been hitting up against this invisible wall. Even for a decade, you've been hitting against this ceiling that you can't seem to break through. Well, here's what she says, that the winds are shifting and you're about to enter a spiritual jet stream. How many of you love spiritual jet streams? I know I do. I want to be in a spiritual jet stream. A spiritual jet stream is where the wind of the Spirit will propel you forward, allowing you to cover more ground in the same amount of time and simultaneously save energy and effort. What took years will take months. What took months will take weeks. What took weeks will take days. What took days will take hours. And what took hours will take minutes. She says this, get ready. How many of you believe that we're on the threshold of being able to break through? Yeah. You see, we got to contend for it though. We got to contend for it. We got to break through it. We can't just live life on our heels, taking what comes to us. We have to go on the offensive and break through with what God has in front of us. So let's talk about that for a little bit. A tailwind. A tailwind's a great thing, isn't it? Like a tailwind will get you there faster. It'll get you there more efficiently. And in many ways, it'll get you there even more smoothly. Because when you're going with the wind, there's not as much turbulence. And you can go be at this cruising speed. I don't remember what year it was, but I was coming back from a missions trip in Europe, and it was my birthday. And I don't remember who it was, if it was me that requested or what, but I got to go into the cockpit of the plane while it was flying on my birthday. So that'll tell you how old I am, because you could never do that today. Like, you're not going to get anywhere close to the cockpit except when you get on the plane and when you get off. That's the closest you're going to get. But when we're flying at however high we were, 40,000 feet or whatever, I got to go in there and see these guys flying this plane. The first thing that I noticed when I walked in there was all the gadgets, you know, switches and buttons and levers and all kinds of stuff. And I thought to myself, how in the world do these guys know all this stuff? Like, that's the first thing that I noticed. Like, you have panels of switches that cover that whole area. It's an amazing thing, you know, because they all do something. The second thing that I noticed was what they were seated in, like how they were seated. And it was like these really nice easy chair looking things, like recliners. And they were leather, and I remember them being blue, and one of the pilots was standing up talking to me. The other one was down inside there, so you got to kind of crawl into it in a way in this particular aircraft. And the one, he had his leg up like this, and he turned around and was talking to me like this. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. This guy can just kind of, you know, he's enjoying this. Third thing I noticed that was really incredible was the windshield. Like the windshield was an amazing thing because you could see out, and oh, it was just incredible watching all that happen as we're flying at, you know, probably 700 miles an hour that this is all going on. And the thing is this, they were at cruising altitude enjoying the ride. That's where I want to be. But in order to get there, there's something called a headwind. And a headwind is what Christine Kane was referring to, that we are shifting now from a headwind to a tailwind. But a headwind is important for two reasons. A headwind is important in taking off and landing. That's what a headwind is really most beneficial. The reason it's important to go into a headwind when you take off is because it causes lift to the aircraft. Without a headwind, it's more difficult to get lift, to get up off the ground. The other reason that a headwind is important is for landing. And the reason it's important for landing is because it slows the aircraft down naturally with the help of everything else. So it's all working together. Did you know that airports are built with wind direction in mind? Did you know that? So like if you go out on Markley Road, you might not know this, but if you're a runner or you train, that Markley Road, if you're going south, you're actually going uphill. Now you might not know that, but you do if you're running. Like it is definitely noticeable. If you're going north, you're going slightly downhill, which is oftentimes better. So if you're a runner, a headwind is a terrible thing. Because me personally, I would rather run in extreme cold or extreme heat than run in a headwind. But here's something that's important about a headwind if you're training. It causes resistance and it will make you stronger. That's what it'll do. So it has its benefit. It's beneficial. Did you know that when buffalo are in a storm, that they will turn toward the storm and they'll face it? And the reason is so that they can get through it as fast as possible. You know what a cow will do? A cow, if there's a storm, you know what a cow will do? A cow will run from a storm, but a buffalo won't. A buffalo will turn right into it. Did you know if you're out on a ship? So I have a friend that's out on the Gulf all the time and in huge ships. He was a tugboat captain. Now he's on a big old vessel, and he's been in 30-foot seas. He's told me stories about it. He said, you know what we do when there's a storm or there's high seas? You turn right into it. You put the stern of the ship right into it, and you bust through it as quick as you can. That's what you do. You face the storm. That's what I'm talking about contending. You contend for your faith. You contend for what you're believing for. You contend for what's important to you in your life. You face it. You get through it so that it causes you lift to get up over it and to be able to go through it. Now, here's the other thing. What I do is before I get on any airplane, if I usually have my oil with me, I take some oil out and I put it on my finger and I lay my hand on the aircraft and I say, this thing's going to get me where I need to go. God, I plead your angels around it. That's going to keep me safe, that limited turbulence. And God, I give you this. And I got my kids even doing it. Like and the reason I do it is because I've been in some crazy situations where it could have went bad. And I was always nervous, you know, because of turbulence and stuff. I'm not so nervous anymore because I'm trusting God to get me where I need to go and to get me where I need to be. But here's the thing. if you're not taking off and landing and you don't like the headwind that you're in the middle of, you know, there's a third thing that you can do besides taking off and landing. There's a third thing you can do, and that is this: change directions. Change directions. If you don't like the trajectory of your life, if you don't like the way things are going, you know what you can do? You can always pivot and turn and go a different direction. But you know what we do? You know what human nature is? Let's just try to figure it out, and we'll just kind of try to muscle through it. There is a time to muscle through it, but there's another time when you need to change directions because it ain't working. And I want to encourage you. What didn't work in 2025, what makes you think it's going to work in 2026? What makes you think all of a sudden, magically, January 1st comes and now it's all going to work? It doesn't happen that way. It takes you and I deciding that we're going to change the trajectory of our lives and that we're going to go a different direction. We're either going to land this thing, or we're going to take off to what God has for us, whatever's new for us, or we're going to switch directions because we're sick and tired of always having to deal with the headwind. How many of you are tired of dealing with the headwind? You tired of it? You're tired of always hitting up against it? Then contend for your faith. Either land the thing, get it up off the ground, or turn the thing around, because that's the only thing that's going to help you and I get through the headwind. Amen? All right. So there's a story. It's a prophetic word about Jesus in Isaiah 50. And I think it'll be clearer as we read this, but Isaiah gives this prophetic word about the way Jesus' ministry would be and what would happen. And this is the New King James Version. I'm going to read it to you out of that. It says, I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So the picture that I get is almost like a face that's in the form of a flint rock that is so intentional and so purposeful that it is able to cut through whatever is facing it. This aerodynamic face, if you will, that will get you and I through what we need to get through. Do you think Jesus was ever intentional about what he was supposed to do? Do you think he was purposeful with all that? With going to the cross and being raised from the dead and ascending into heaven? Like, that wasn't just a plan that was thrown together. That was something that was formulated from beyond time, beyond the world. Like, God had that plan in his mind. But Luke describes that prophecy. Listen to what Luke says in Luke 9:51. And I want you to capture this word face, okay? Because it's said three times, and I believe there's a reason why it's said three times. Luke 9:51 says this, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he said steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So there's the first time. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Does that sound like contending for the faith in a way? Does that kind of remind us of that in a little bit? Okay, that's the first thing. 52 says this, and he sent messengers before his face. Says it again. Sent messengers before his face. Second time. And then it says, as he went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Three times we hear the word face. Why would Luke do that? I think Luke is reminding the readers that this is a prophetic, that this word is being fulfilled prophetically from Isaiah 50. That's what I believe. I believe that Luke wrote it that way because he wanted the readers to see that what Jesus was about to do was fulfilling the prophecy that Isaiah gave in Isaiah 50. Does that make sense? But here's the picture that I want you to look at. Jesus' face was like flint. Some versions say stone, but I like flint better because flint is a type of material that can be made into a point or can be chipped away. And many times, listen, church, this is going to encourage you. Many times in your life, you've looked at and you've seen, yeah, I've been chipped away and I've been eroded away. But listen, let it create a point in you instead of smoothing you down in that sense so that you can press through to what God has for you, so that you can contend for the faith, so that you can stand your ground and press through the darkness, press through the opposition, press through all that the enemy has tried to throw at you, that your face is so intentional and so purposeful that it causes you to be able to get through what you're facing. Does that make sense? It's almost like my son said, Dad, when that happened, your eyes changed. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and me having our game face on. Like, it's on, devil. We're getting through this. I'm not going to live on my heels. I'm not going to live in the defensive all the time. I'm going to press through. And if I don't like the direction of my life and I don't like the trajectory, guess what I'm going to do? I can turn the thing around. I can go a different direction. But it's going to take some doing. It's going to take some intentionality for that to happen. Now let's finish this by a couple more things and then I'm done. There's a Navy SEAL named Pete Scoble. Has an 8-hour podcast that I would encourage you guys to listen to. It's a remarkable story. Pete Scoble. He's only one of three Navy SEALs to go through the Naval Academy. So he's an amazing guy. Can you imagine going through Bud's SEAL school and then going to the Naval Academy and had these midshipmen telling you what to do? Can you imagine that? These young guys telling a Navy SEAL what to do? But he had to submit to it. And when he was contemplating doing it and trying to decide the direction of his life, he went to one of his mentors, Admiral Smith, and he said, what do I do? And this is what Admiral Smith said, and I want you to write this down. He said, whenever you're faced with a hard decision, always choose the hardest path. Always choose the hardest path. Because, and this is my rendition, the hardest path will always produce the best results. It'll be the most fruitful. But you know what we do? And I do it all the time. I want the easy way. Don't you? I went the easy way. My wife and I were talking just about when we were raising kids. And we look back on that, it was like, how do we do it? I mean, there were times I was working three jobs and she was, I mean, we had two of them at diapers at one time. And I'm not bragging. Well, yeah, no, I am bragging. I could change a diaper with one hand. I could change a diaper with one hand. And these were the days when a bundle of diapers were $5 and I thought it was just outrageous. $5. Now they're, who knows how much they are now. I could, in all good consciousness, change a poopy diaper with one wipe. That's impressive, right? I mean, I need to put that on a resume somewhere, you know? Man. But here's my point, you guys. Those were hard days, but at the time, we just did it because that's what you're supposed to do. Who else is going to do it? That's what you do. You see, many of you are in a season of your life where you're hitting up against the ceiling. And you're like, God, I want to get through this. You know what? Bust through it. Contend for your faith. Contend for what you're believing for. Contend for what you're standing on. I want to close with these two last thoughts, and that's this, that Jesus, it says in Revelation, is the Alpha and the Omega, which means that and it's true, he is the beginning and the end. But we look at that in the framework of time, don't we? When Jesus is the beginning and the end, we look at it in the framework of that God fits in our time schedule. But in reality, the Alpha and the Omega means that he is outside of time. Did you know that? God lives outside of time. Time is a human concept. God lives outside of time. God is beyond time. But here's the good news about that, is that because he lives outside of time in this other in this other realm or this other kingdom, he is able to have a better perspective, a better vantage point. He sees things from outside of time. Isn't that an amazing thing? So the reason I bring that up is you can trust him. You can trust him that he's going to get you through. He's the only one that can get you through, really, in reality, lasting wise. And I want to close with this verse, back to Jude. This is great. Verses 14 and 15. Listen to this, you guys. You talk about breakthrough that's coming. Listen to this. Enoch, who lived to the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied to these people. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things that they've done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see, guys, there's a day of reckoning that's coming. It's coming. You can't stop it. No one's going to be able to stop it. It's already set in motion. And the word there, I think, depending on your version, it says myriads of angels, which means thousands upon thousands of angels that God is going to return to the earth to execute judgment on the inhabitants that are here. Now, that could give two responses from us. It could be like, oh me, or oh great, you know, like, oh man. But the important thing that we remember about that is that the reason it hasn't happened already is because God is merciful. He's merciful. He's giving time for people to repent. But there's another side of it too. You know what the other side of it is? He's giving you and me time to get our stuff together, to get it figured out. Because when he comes back, there's not going to be any second chances. Like, that's it. So God is giving us time and his mercy for us to get our act together, to figure it out. How many of you, there are some subtle adjustments or maybe some big issues that we got to get figured out? We got to get it figured out. 2026 is the year to do it. Because it's the year that you're contending for your faith. You're believing God for breakthrough. How many of you are believing God for breakthrough today? Why don't you stand with me? Stand with me. It takes over 40 days to build a habit. Over 40 days. What worked in 25 is not going to work in 26. There might be some things that you bring with you that were productive, but overall it's a new year. It's a new season. What do you need to leave behind? What do you got to leave behind? And what needs to change in 26? Man, get drastic if you have to. I mean, get crazy with it if you need to. I just say, Lord, I am not going to live my life this way anymore. I mean, come on. Contend. Believe. Trust. Break through. That's what he wants for you in your life. Amen? So, Lord, help us with that. God, some of us, we don't even know it. We don't even see it, but it's there nonetheless. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us with that, Lord Jesus. And when we see it and we recognize it, Lord, let us be obedient to go a different direction or to break through or to land or to take off to something great. That's what we want to do, God. And so help us today. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.